Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 2 of Negro Please Radio with me, Chris Allen. How you doing? I hope you guys had a great holiday. I hope your Christmas was very, very merry. I know mine was. I had a great time, man. My wife made her famous chili. I know that sounds different, but she doesn't eat pork, so we don't do the ham and all that kind of stuff. She makes her famous chili. We have some chili, chill, watch some basketball games. My son had a blast. I mean, he got a lot of stuff. He really, really enjoyed it, man. It was an experience, man. You know, I'm finally the dad, you know, tired, wanting to go back to bed, and my son is opening gifts. He's playing. He's banging on stuff. And I just want to lay back down. And I remember looking at my dad when I was like 5, like, yo, why does this dude not want to be up right now? This is the best day ever. But now when you're buying all the toys and spending all the money and you're up late putting shit together, completely different. But I still love it, man. I felt like a king watching my little boy have a good time, man. And I hope you guys had a great holiday. Off top, man, Happy New Year. This is the second but last podcast for 2014. I hope 2014 was great. I hope 2015 is even better. And I also want to thank real quick, I want to thank everyone that tuned in, that streamed, that downloaded the podcast, who shared it. I appreciate it. Thank you to the few people that wrote in, and we'll get to those later. Thank you so much. Got some good feedback. I'm having a blast doing this again, man. I really enjoyed the last one, but, you know, like I said, I messed that up and had to start over. And I figured, you know what? New house, new state, new podcast. I love doing this, man. This is a challenge for me to try to talk about different things every week. It's a great exercise for my comedy, my improv. And it's just an outlet for me to get a lot of shit off my chest. You know, I'm going to try to get better and try to not put so much stuff on Facebook. That's probably going to be like a resolution or just for, you know, 2015. Try not to put as much on there. Do it through the podcast. But, again, thanks for listening last week. I guess we'll get into it. First up, I know you guys probably saw this. Apparently, they're looking at Idris Elba playing James Bond in the next Bond movie or the second to next or whatever. In the future, damn it. They want Idris Elba to play James Bond, and Rush Limbaugh lost his fucking shit. How dare they try to make this fictitious Scottish secret agent a Negro? He's Scottish. That's it. That's what it needs to be. He has to be white. That's it. That is it. He was like, well, fine. He sounds like a kid. Well, fine. We'll just do this. We're going to make it all fair. We're going to make it all fair. All equal. Like, that's a bad thing. We're going to make it all equal. So his thing is that they should get white actors to play Barack and Michelle. Sir, those two people are fucking real, okay? That's the difference. But I'm pretty sure if you could get away with making MLK white in a movie 300 years from now, I'm pretty sure you would, you fucking fat piece of shit. Merry Christmas, Rush. A lot of movie controversy, man. A lot of it. Annie was black. Again, how dare they make a fictitious character who was traditionally white, black? How dare they? How dare they? The outrage. But yet, some of these people seem to not care that a movie based on character, a movie that is supposedly all true stories from the Bible in the Middle East, Exodus, entire cast white. But I'm pretty sure in that case, all the, you know, the best actors got the job, you know. But, you know, Idris and, you know, the Black Annie, that was just some liberal bullshit. And, you know, Obama somehow getting his hands in there and making that happen. you know. Yeah. Oh, yeah, still on the movie thing. That was weird. Still on the movie thing. Real quick, man, I just want to take this time out, really. Seriously. I want to take this time out to thank all those True Blue, I mean, chest out, saluting. I mean, they bleed red, white, and blue. I mean, real fucking patriots, people. Real Americans, okay, that went out under fire, under duress, under scrutiny, okay, under all this pressure. They went out, I'm sorry, they stayed in the comfort of their home and downloaded the interview. I mean, these are the real patriots of America. I feel like order has been restored. I feel like I can live and not worry about terrorism. I feel like this is the old America that I grew up in. I mean, after that movie came out, I looked down the street and there were fucking apple pies on every windowsill. You could even see the smell wafting like in a cartoon down the street. And some old man levitating off the ground with his nostrils flared the size of a bass drum, mesmerized by the smell of that sweet, sweet apple pie after the interview came out. So again, thank you to all those, you know, dedicated Americans. I mean, who, you know, they came home wounded. It looked like a Civil War procession. You know, parade, headed back into town. The dude's playing his fucking flute. The dude's got an eye patch on. Because those are some real people. They fucking really put it on the line downloading that movie from their house. I want to thank every last one of you guys for doing that for me and my family. And this year, when I barbecue on 4th of July, I'm going to take a moment of silence and thank each and every one of you for doing that, restoring order to America. Fuck you, North Korea. Okay? We had people who stand up for their First Amendment rights in their homes, okay, where it's safe, and they protest. Thank you, everybody who did that for me. I appreciate it, you know. I thought my 16 years wearing a uniform, getting up every day, I thought that was some real shit, but no. Download the movie, that's some shit. I really appreciate it. I'm just kidding, man. If you saw it, that's great. I just like busting people's balls. This is fun. I hope it was good, man, because y'all just made a big deal about a shitty movie. And I know Sony's like, thank God they hacked our shit because we would have lost millions. Whew, thank you. Thank you, God. A lot of movie shit going on. Speaking of movies, Stacey Dash, movie star, Clueless. Remember her? Fine black chick. She, I would say maybe what, 2 years ago, she quote unquote came out as a Republican, and she was talking about how she got all this backlash and she's blackballed from her family because she's a Republican and all this kind of stuff. And I guess there's people attacking her on Twitter. And fellas, I don't get it, fellas. I don't see why you care. I don't care. I don't see why. I wouldn't care. Men, we should only care if a woman is old enough to vote. Why do you care which way she leans? I'm pretty sure most guys are like me, okay? I can lean left politically, lean a little left. I could have dated a chick that leaned right. It doesn't matter how I feel. My dick is a swing voter, okay? He's going to go whatever way she goes. I could be on a date, and this chick's like, I really don't like Obama. And, you know, he guy's really fucking up. And I'm like, oh, this chick, my dick is like, nope, yeah. Go ahead and agree with her, and I just have to be like, yeah, you're right, man. He fucking up. I love Ann Coulter. I really do. Stacey, no one cares. Okay? No one gives a shit. Stop trying to find sympathy. Stop trying to be relevant again. Okay? You're fine. That's all that matters. You're a good-looking girl. Go out there, get an acting job, and stop bitching. Okay? You're a Republican. There's jobs everywhere, right? It should be easy to get a job. Just get one. Oh, God. Speaking of people that pissed me off, Al Sharpton, folks, people. I wrote my own open letter. That seems to be kind of a thing now. Open letters seem to be cool. So I wouldn't call it a letter. It was just an open paragraph to bigoted white people, honestly, bigoted white people or blind white people, whatever you want to call them. And I basically just said, look, Al Sharpton does not speak for all black people. As much as it you want to believe it, and it makes it easier for you to feel the way you do about black people, he doesn't speak for us. And I know that's kind of like, it's kind of like an oxymoron, I guess. I don't know the word for it. But me saying that he doesn't speak for all black people, or most black people, it's kind of like I'm speaking for all or most black people. I see how that's kind of weird, but I think it's safer to assume that he doesn't than he does, okay? And I had a lot of responses to it, you know, and somebody was like, man, how come Al Sharpton gets a pass, man? He gets a pass, and he says a lot of racist, homophobic stuff. I was just like, so does Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh. If Al Sharpton gets a pass, then those guys get a pass. Rachel Maddow, Bill Maher, HLN, Fox News, they all get passes. And he goes, well, it's different because those people don't really, like Bill O'Reilly, those guys don't come out and call people faggots. I'm like, well, you don't really have to call somebody outright faggot to be a homophobe. You really don't. You don't have to call me a nigger to be a racist. Then he goes, well, you guys need to come out as a community with the quotations and denounce them. You need to come out and say something. I'm like, for what? It's like now you want the black community, the one that said the one that doesn't exist according to people to the right. Now all of a sudden you want the community to come together and denounce this man for what he says. Why? You as a white person, you don't have to do that shit when somebody comes out. It says something racist. I didn't see droves of white people coming out when my man from Duck Dynasty was saying racist shit. If anything, people were trying to defend the shit. Same with the LA Lakers guy. Why do we have to step up and denounce people in our race for saying dumb shit? I can't even say it. He doesn't speak for me. I don't need to step in. I don't need to step in. It's not my place. I just Al Sharpton, he's just an opportunist, and I don't know how he was quote unquote voted in as the black spokesman. Okay, a motherfucker with a perm would never speak for me anywhere, ever. Just let that be known. Let the record show that a motherfucker with a perm would never speak for me. I guess I'm going to get to my emails, my letters, or whatever you want to call them. This one's shorter, so I'll do this one first. And this comes from someone that goes, what is your take on folks waiting for the last minute to invite you out to a party, giving you little to no time to get ready? They're selfish pricks, to say the least. And I've been there. I have a very, very good friend of mine who I am going to say his name, Dave Boyd. My boy Dave is the fucking shadiest dude to walk the planet when it comes to that type of shit. I mean, Dave, yo, he will call you at 30 minutes before something. Yo, man, you want to go to the club? Yeah, man, cool, come pick me up. It's like, you invited me out. How you want me to come pick you up? Fine, Dave, I'll come pick you up. You ready? Huh? Are you ready? Huh? Oh, yeah, I'm ready. The huns mean no. Whenever you get hun on the phone, they're not ready. I will get to Dave's house, and he's still playing PlayStation 2. Yes, I'm dating myself. playing PlayStation 2. Actually, not PlayStation 3. Two. It's PlayStation 2, the square black one. Yeah. They're just selfish, man. And they probably have... they probably had other plans, and you were just the backup, you know? That's all that is, man. Just inconsiderate pricks. But that's my dude, though, man. I love Dave to death, man. Nobody parties like Dave Boyd, man. That dude, oh, God. I could talk for days about Dave. That dude has lived an Eric Jerome Dickey life. And for those who don't know who Eric Jerome Dickey is, he writes messy black love novels where everybody's fucking everybody. Yeah, I'm putting you out there, bro. I really am. But he's a changed man. You know, he's different now. But this is years ago. He's not the same person. This dude's going to kill me, but I don't really care. But yeah, that's my dude, man. He should do the same shit, man. It's just inconsiderate people, man. And you either go or you don't go. That was my dude. I always had his back. I always went. There are a few times I didn't go. So that's my take on that. And I get another email. It's fairly lengthy and a more serious subject matter. From a friend of mine, Vincent Holiday. He said he was watching a comedian talk about important black people today, and he said that person put Denzel Washington at the top of the list. And oh, first let me say this. He thinks that, because last week I spoke about Bill Cosby, he thinks after Bill Cosby dies, he'll go back to being one of the most important comedians of our time. And he kind of paralleled that to the whole Michael Jackson thing and his situation that he had. And I kind of agree about it. People will probably forget about this over time. But thanks for that comment. But he said that this person put Denzel Washington at the top of the list of a list of important black people, along with Oprah, Barack, Jay-Z, and again Bill Cosby. But he was wondering how come Denzel will be put on top of people like Jay-Z and Oprah, who have built empires. You know, what do you call them? Humanitarians, philanthropists. You know, they're moguls. They have empires, if you will. You know, how does that happen? And that's a great fucking question, man. I have no idea. I have no idea. I think maybe because I think actors may be less polarizing as a rapper. If you're a church going person, you don't really care for rap music, or you know, you just don't watch TV. Oprah, I don't know. I don't really watch Oprah. I mean, maybe she was a little too political, you know, too conservative, too liberal. I have no idea. But I mean, you look at Denzel, you don't really know Denzel Washington. Even though you really don't know Oprah, you don't really know Jay-Z. He's always playing somebody else, you know? Oprah, she gave her opinion. I guess that can make her polarizing. She gave her opinion on her TV show for 20-some-odd years, and that can turn people off. They don't like your thought process. They don't like your belief system. Jay-Z, again, like I said, might not like the rap music, the lyrics. It's misogynistic. They don't want to hear that. But Denzel, he always plays a strong black man figure, and I'm pretty sure he's a strong guy, great family man, but I don't really know. He's always playing somebody else. So I think it's just a lot easier for Denzel, by popularity, to be at the top of that list, you know. I think more people have seen Denzel's movies than that same group has listened to Jay-Z's album or have watched Oprah. Like, he's probably just touched more in the black community, just based on, you know, your age and all that kind of stuff. So I just think it's the audience that you reach. But as far as influence, I don't know what work he's done. I would say Oprah has probably done the most work out of probably any black people in our community. So, but he makes another good point too, about saying people like Denzel and, you know, all those people. Why are those people looked up to and not like, say, the Neil deGrasse Tysons, Barbara Boxer, which I know the name, but I'm not really sure. I can't think what she's done. Cornel West or even Clarence Thomas. That shit doesn't sell, man. it doesn't sell. But you know what? I actually went and saw Neil deGrasse Tyson speak when I was in Dayton, and I was surprised at the amount of young kids that were out there. You know, white and black. I mean, it's kind of like I think that the nerd era is really, you know, in full swing right now. Back in the day, people were kind of, you know, for lack of a better term, closeted about that kind of stuff. But I mean, now people are really open about all types of things that they like, and there's, you know, groups you can get into with the internet. You can find people who like things that you like. I love Neil deGrasse Tyson, man. Cornel West too. I love those. And lastly, he makes another good point too. Like he was saying, all these biographical films that come out, you know, black people, Ali, Ray Charles, Jackie Robinson, but white people get movies like Steve Jobs, Abraham Lincoln, Aaron Brockovich. Didn't even know that shit was real. Got to be honest, had no idea. Thought it wasn't real. But again, I think that boils down to money. America's what, 15% black? And it's just easier to make movies about people like that. I mean, what would you rather see? What would you rather see, people? Black folks? This sounds bad. Because I would probably want to see the latter. But what do you think people would want to see? A movie about Floyd Mayweather, a flamboyant boxer, or George Washington Carver? A motherfucker who did shit with peanuts and oils and stuff. Brilliant man. I don't think it makes for a great movie, but I could be wrong. I would watch it. But I think from a Hollywood standpoint, they're like, I don't think that's going to make any money, you know, unless your boy made it. You know, you got to let your boy make that movie. What's his name? Tyler Perry. you can let Tyler Perry make the George Washington Carver movie. It's just a bunch of dudes with peanut oil all over their chest. I don't know. But you make a good point, man. I think it boils down to money, man. It's about what sells. It's really about what sells. And I think Hollywood feels like black people only want to see certain type of movies or things that are safe to go see. They feel like it's safe to make. They want to make money, you know. But shit, Tyler Perry does have his own studio. And if him and Spike weren't beefing, maybe they could get together and make some movies about Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, I would like to see a really, really good Frederick Douglass movie. But, you know, people get mad when you make those movies, man. You can make a million World War II movies. I love that shit. Everyone can relate to that. But it's just like, hey, you make a slave movie, man. A movie about that time. It's just like you're just trying to stir up some old shit. Leave it alone. We don't want to hear about, you know, a black people's story about perseverance and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to hear that. But we can relate to this this college athlete dude that got shot down over the Pacific and went into a Japanese POW camp. We can relate to that. But I can't relate to some black dude, you know, being taken away from his family, sold into slavery, working, and then getting back home, you know, 12 years later. I can't relate to that shit, man. But I really see myself as a World War II hero. And that movie looks great, by the way. I'm broken. I want to see that. And I want to see Selma. And I want to see, what else is that I want to see? American Sniper. I want to see that too. But I think that's it. There's a show. That's a show. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it again. Please send me some emails, okay? What the hell is the email? It's NegroPleaseRadio@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chris Allen Comedy, ALAN. Same thing on Instagram. I got to get better on Instagram. I don't use it. I don't take a lot of pictures of stuff. I'm trying to, but you know what? If you're not famous, no one cares. No one cares. So when I get famous, then I'll start doing all that shit more. But now, it's just, I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my time tweeting to a bunch of people who just skip over my shit. But that's the podcast. Everybody have a great new year. Have a safe new year. See you on the other side. Have a happy, safe.